Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Robbie Stanley, on your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
1025.
And welcome in to another edition of Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley here with you as always. Preds Insiders brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Hope everybody is doing well and that this day finds you well. We've had some great warm weather around here this week, and it has been lots of fun to enjoy. One thing not quite as fun to enjoy, the results on Tuesday night as it relates to the Nashville Predators. The Winnipeg Jets take down the Minnesota Wild. And that officially eliminates the Predators from the playoffs. They will miss the playoffs for the first time since 2014. We got a lot to get into today here on the show. We'll have Colton Sissons, some comments from him coming up here in just a few minutes. He joined Michelle and Junie earlier this morning, so looking forward to that conversation. You'll hear from Predators General Manager David Poile throughout the show here today on Preds Insiders as well. And, of course, another edition of Keezer's Corner with our man Nick Keezer coming up to end the program today as well. So looking forward to all that. But the Predators will miss out on the playoffs. They had a tough game in Winnipeg on Saturday where basically they spent the entire game for the most part in the defensive zone. Winnipeg looked really good and they hemmed the Predators in there, and UC Saros played really well, but ultimately they couldn't get anything going offensively in the game against Winnipeg. They lose 2-0, and you knew at that point that the Predators, after losing that game, they were basically going to have to win out. And that's really how it played out. Winnipeg wins that game. The Predators had to go and beat Calgary on Monday night, which they did. But Winnipeg also beat San Jose on Monday night, which meant that the Predators had to win out and the Winnipeg Jets had to lose out the rest of the way. Not only did they have to lose out, they had to lose out in regulation. Otherwise, the Predators would be eliminated and the Winnipeg Jets would claim the final playoff spot. And the Jets wasted no time. Tuesday night, they went on the road to Minnesota. They won 3-1, and they have clinched their berth into the Stanley Cup playoffs. So that means the eight teams in the Western Conference are set. There's still some shuffling back and forth as to what exactly the order could be. Colorado leads the division right now in the Central by 1 point over Dallas heading into play today. And Edmonton has been on a roll lately. They're right there with Vegas in the Pacific Division as well. So the playoff matchups themselves have not all been determined yet in the Western Conference, but we know the eight teams that will be participating in the Stanley Cup playoffs coming up. And that is Colorado, Dallas, Minnesota, Vegas, Edmonton, Los Angeles, Seattle, and now Winnipeg punching their ticket the other night. So if you're a Predators fan, particularly a Predators fan that has been around recently and maybe hasn't been a fan for too long, like, this is foreign territory to you. The Predators have been in the playoffs every year since 2014. And this will be the first time since Barry Trotz's final year as head coach that they're not back in the playoffs. So this is not a spot that they've been in very often over the course of the past decade for sure, but really about the last 20 years. I mean, I think back to the first time the Predators made the playoffs in 2004, and they've basically been a playoff team every other year since then. They missed it twice in 13 and 14. I think they missed it in 09 too, and that was it. I mean, those are the three times that they've missed the playoffs since 04. Of course, you had the lockout in 05 and where nobody made the playoffs. And then those nice Korea and Sullivan and Arnott and Weber and Teeminen teams in 06 and 07. And, you know, Peter Forsberg joining the mix too. It's been a nice run of success for the Predators to make the playoffs. And ultimately, they fall short. They got two games coming up left to close out the regular season. They'll take on Minnesota tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena and then Colorado on Friday to round things off. And then it leads to an offseason of many questions, and we're going to have a lot of time to unpack the entire offseason and some moves that could be made. But I think the number one thing on Predators fans' minds right now, and we had a lot of people text us about this on Robbie and Rex Road, now that we know they're not making the playoffs, they got close, it was a valiant effort, a lot of young guys played really well down the stretch, but we know that they're not going to be in there. What does it mean for John Hines and his future as coach of the Predators? We've seen David Poile step aside. Barry Trotz is going to come in and take over as general manager. Anytime that there is a change at general manager, you start to look at the coach and you say, I wonder what that means for him and what his future could be. John Hines has 1 year left on his deal. He signed that contract extension last year. So 1 year left on the deal for John Hines. Has he done enough? As Barry Trotz evaluates, and that's what Barry Trotz said he was going to do at his introductory press conference when he took over as general manager. As he's taken time to be in team meetings and he's seen John Hines work up close and personal, he's gotten some firsthand experience as to what the message is that John Hines is preaching in there and how his players have responded to it. When you factor in the whole thing and the injuries are included in that and the preseason expectations and the fact that you did have to sell off at the deadline, the whole picture of this season for John Hines, what does it mean? Is he back next year? Does Barry Trotz give him another year to prove himself? Or does Barry Trotz look around and say, you know what? I just think it's time to move in a different direction. Either he's got his guy already identified, or he looks around and wants to conduct a search. A lot of people want to go to Carl Taylor in Milwaukee and just elevate him to be the head coach. I'm not going to take that option off the table. I don't think that option is overly likely, but I'm not going to take that option off the table. It's really an intriguing time to see what Barry Trotz decides to do here. Now, honestly, I mean, I look at this a couple of different ways with John Hines. Like, I look at the first part of this season where Forsberg was healthy and Duchesne was healthy and you had Johansson in there and Yossi was playing. I mean, Ekholm was still on the team. Like, that should have been a playoff team. I mean, we talked about it heading into the year. That's a playoff team, and especially when you brought in Nino Niederreiter and Ryan McDonagh. The expectations were that this should have been a team that was in the playoffs. They made the playoffs last year. They got better in the offseason on paper, and it just never worked. I mean, really, they went over, they won the first two games in Prague, and really from that point on, it was a major struggle with this group to find any level of consistency whatsoever. And ultimately, we know what they decided to do. They traded the pieces off at the deadline, and they decided to sell and look ahead to the future. And that's fine, and that has to be factored in to the John Hines discussion too. I mean, he was leading the charge there when the team did not live up to expectations. So I look at that part of it and I say, that's not a good job by John Hines. Like, he did not get this team to perform to the level in which they probably should have performed, or at least we expected them to perform. Oh, by the way, with a Vezina-caliber goalie in there as well. So I totally understand Predators fans looking at that part of it and saying, I mean, he had the opportunity, and they let it get away from him and didn't work in the first half of the season. I look at what they did after the deadline and when the young guys started to come up, and especially when the injuries started to take over, and I thought John Hines did a good job of getting the young guys to buy in and getting the young guys to hang around and remain in the fight coming down the stretch. I thought that was really impressive. Now, the flip side of that is, and Adam Vingan put this stat out yesterday as well, and I think it really highlights what we've seen from this team. And we've talked about it with the Predators, right? Goal scoring lately has been a big challenge, and you're going to hear David Poile talk about that a little bit later in the show. But Adam Vingan threw these numbers out there yesterday. Says from the Predators' numbers since the trade deadline, which is a 21-game sample size, goals per game, they're at 2.24, which is the worst in the NHL. Expected goals per game at 2.28, which is 30th out of the 32 teams in the NHL. And then goals saved above expected by UC Saros, 8.47, which is second in the league during that stretch. Self-explanatory was the phrase that Adam Vingan used. And, you know, that's an argument I've heard from Predators fans too. It's like, okay, well, how much credit does John Hines really deserve? The offense wasn't there. They were having a tough time scoring goals, especially with all the guys out of the lineup that they have. The young guys came in. They did a nice job of hanging around. But UC Saros was the reason they were where they were. And, look, I can't argue that. UC Saros was sensational. There's no question that he was the main reason the Predators hung in there as long as they did coming down the stretch. But evaluating those two different parts of the season, the first half where it was incredibly disappointing and this team didn't live up to expectations and they were forced to sell players off. And then the second half, after they had done that and the expectations were lowered and the younger players came in and they hung around longer than most people expected them to, how do you blend the two evaluations together and what does it ultimately mean for John Hines? The answer is, I don't know. I think it's a really intriguing storyline heading into this next week. My gut tells me, and this is just total speculation on my part. I'm not reporting anything. This is just total speculation. My gut tells me that John Hines will remain the head coach of the Nashville Predators and that he will be given another season to prove, to see what he can do. I don't know. I don't know that. I could be totally off base. That's just the feeling I get from being around the organization, is that he's going to get another year. We'll see. We'll see what happens on that front. But no question, the future of John Hines and the coaching staff is going to be a hot topic of conversation around this team heading into next week as the offseason begins. And then there's the draft coming to town. There's the cap space the Predators have created for themselves with the trades that they've made. And, oh, by the way, the draft picks and the assets that they have, that you could use some of those assets, as we talked about at the deadline, or you could also maybe involve yourself in some trade conversations that maybe before making some of those moves at the deadline, they wouldn't have been able to involve themselves in. I'm really interested to see Barry Trotz's approach on all of that, and hopefully there's some clarity on some of that as we get into next week and the end-of-season press conferences start to become available. We are off and running on Preds Insiders here today. Coming up next, you will hear a conversation with Colton Sissons, Predators forward. He joined Michelle and Junie earlier this morning. Looking forward to that conversation coming up next. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley here with you as always. Preds Insiders brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. And Michelle and Junie caught up with Predators forward Colton Sissons earlier this morning. Obviously, tough news for the Predators last night, as we discussed in the first segment. They were officially eliminated from playoff contention on Tuesday night for the first time since 2014. The Predators will not be a part of the Stanley Cup playoffs coming up later this month when those things get kicked off next week, actually, as the playoffs get kicked off. And Colton Sissons, Predators forward, who, through all the change, through all the trades, through all the injuries that have taken place, Colton Sissons has been a constant for this Nashville Predators team and this group over the course of the past few years, and certainly this year as a stabilizing force as some of these other moves have taken place. Colton Sissons joined Michelle and Junie earlier today. Here was that conversation.
Colton, you know, tough night last night because the Winnipeg Jets ended up securing a playoff spot. How frustrating sometimes is it when you aren't playing a game, but your fate is decided by another game playing when it comes towards the end of the season?
I don't know if I'd use the word frustrated. You know, it's definitely disappointing. We played a lot of good hockey games and won some huge games. We had no business winning down the stretch here. So, it's disappointing.
What can you say about the way your team persevered in this last month of play? I mean, you know, at the trade deadline, the Predators made some significant moves and a lot of young players were given a huge opportunity to step up in this next month. And you guys make a case for yourselves in the last week of the regular season to contend for a playoff spot. What can you say just about this team's resiliency over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was an incredible amount of resiliency, you know, just kept getting hit by waves of adversity with the trades and then injuries to our best players. And, you know, we definitely had a lot of opportunity throughout the lineup, the young guys, but, you know, older guys like myself included, to have bigger roles and power play time and all that stuff. And guys stepped up in different ways every night, and Juice was incredible as always. And yeah, it was, it's been a really fun ride, honestly. It's been, we're just really proud of the guys.
We talked to David Poile yesterday on the station, and he specifically mentioned you, Ryan McDonough, and UC Saros being key pieces in this last month of play and just being leaders on this team for a lot of the younger guys. What has your relationship been like? You know, obviously you've played with UC Saros over the last couple of years, but Ryan McDonough, a new guy coming into this organization, and you two really taking a leadership role in this last month and a half.
Yeah, well, I think we both see ourselves as leaders. You know, in years prior, obviously Ryan's had a big part in being the captain of an NHL hockey club before, winning Stanley Cups and doing all those things. So, you know, it's certainly we've something we both take a lot of pride in. You know, I think the demand was quite high for us to step up there around the trade deadline, and I like to think that we both did a pretty good job on that front.
We're talking to Colton Sissons from the Nashville Predators. Now, Colton, you were playing down in Milwaukee when the Predators decided to make the transition from Barry Trotz to Peter Laviolette. Can you kind of go in and talk about your relationship with Barry Trotz and how familiar you were with him back then and how that relationship will carry over now that he is the new GM replacing David Poile this summer?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think we have a good relationship. Obviously, we didn't really have a lot of time together back then. I think I might have played, I don't know, 17, 18 games for him when I was a rookie that year being a call-up up and down, but definitely a little bit of history, and he understands, I guess, you know, who I was then and kind of where I've come to now. And we've had a lot of good chats already, and looking forward to working with him. He's a great man. I think he's going to do really good things for us.
Another one here for you, Colton. I actually was doing a deep dig on you, and I found this article about you and your dad, and that your dad had taken you shopping to go pick your first hockey jersey. And that hockey jersey, when you were a little kid, so happenly was a Nashville Predators jersey. How ironic was that? And what was that feeling on draft night for you so many years ago when the Predators did call your name and then your parents went up and dug that little old Predators jersey up from your closet?
Yeah. It's a funny little story how things like that work out. I do remember the jersey. I don't remember the day picking it out, I got to be honest with you, but we had a good laugh after digging that thing out of the closet after I was drafted to Nashville, for sure. Obviously, we didn't know much about the city back then, and you know, the team was still fairly reasonably new, so I'm sure glad it worked out that way. Nashville's home now, and nowhere else I'd rather be.
Colton Sissons with us right now. Colton, I mean, you can look back, and Junie brought up that story about your old jersey, and now you've spent so many seasons with the Nashville Predators in a league where you see guys jump to different franchises, whether it be via trade. You know, what has it been like for you? You mentioned Nashville is home, being a part of this organization for so long now.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of work involved and performance, but I think there's a lot of luck and different things have to go your way to stay with the same team for, you know, as long as I have. And yeah, I feel very, very, very blessed that I've had the opportunity to kind of lay some roots down in this city. And I just love playing for this team and playing for these fans here. I was sure happy to stick around this year around trade deadline, I'll tell you that.
Colton Sissons with us from the Nashville Predators. Colton, we talked a lot about, too, some of the young guys who've made an impact and made their names known this year. Tommy Novak was one of them. It was a big surprise from a lot of us on the outside looking in. What can you say just about his growth, not only on the ice, but just within the locker room with you all? Because I'm sure you had a moment like this when you come from Milwaukee and you finally get a chance to, you know, be in the NHL locker room. You probably look around and look at some of the guys you've looked up to as a younger hockey player. What can you just say about his development so far with the Predators?
Yeah, I mean, it's been quite incredible the way Tommy's kind of blossomed for us this year. I don't think we'd be sitting here, you know, pretty close to making playoffs without him. I mean, his play on the ice has just been great to see it. It's scoring some big goals for us and playing with a ton of confidence and having so much poise out there. It's been awesome to see. I don't think he's changed too much off the ice, honestly. He's a pretty low-key reserve guy. So he just does what he does, and you got to love it. He is who he is.
Do you remember what it was like for you when you made that first jump from Milwaukee into the big NHL locker room and what it was like kind of looking around and what it felt like in that moment?
Kinda. I was so overwhelmed and so scared, honestly. I don't know. I don't remember it all that well. But my first big moment was kind of walking into the meal room, I think, in up in Winnipeg. My first game was in Winnipeg, and seeing some of the guys. So pretty overwhelming, to say the least.
Now, we're talking to Colton Sissons with the Nashville Predators here. Colton, your goaltender, UC Saros, when the trade deadline happened and the injuries to some of your all's leaders in the locker room came about, he had really stepped up his game to another level. Can you make a quick case to the national audience as to why UC is so important to this team and why he should be in the conversation for the Vezina Trophy?
Well, I don't think we'd be in the hunt for playoffs without him. Let's put it that way. He kind of put the team on his back there down the stretch, and you know, as far as value for the team, I don't know if there's much more value around the league for Juice with us. Maybe Connor McDavid and the Oilers. I don't know. There's not too many in that category in my eyes.
Now, lastly, the reaction on the bench after Tommy Novak scored the goal was something spectacular the other night, and it was something special seeing the guys. But on the contrary to that, on social media, it was going around with Tommy Novak's very blank expression. Is that just something about like who he is, or is he just somebody that doesn't show a lot of emotion in those big moments like that?
Yeah, I saw that too. I had a good laugh. I was kind of touching on Novi is just who he is. He's very calm, very chill guy, and even when he scores season saving goals in the National League, it's hard to get a smile out of the guy, I guess.
Did he smile in the locker room after with you all?
Yeah, I think we saw a few teeth in the locker room after.
Well, that's good. Colton Sissons, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Good luck with the rest of your day, and thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Great conversation there between Colton Sissons and Michelle and Junie earlier this morning. Appreciate Colton for taking the time to be with us today here on the station. Coming up next, you'll hear a conversation with David Poile. We got into a variety of different topics with David Poile, from UC Saros and the way that he's played and where he fits into the Vezina Trophy conversation, Jake Livingstone being signed to a new contract by the Predators, coming fresh off of college and playing a few games now for the Predators, getting his first NHL point the other night against Calgary. All that and a whole lot more with David Poile coming up next. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley here with you as always. Preds Insiders brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. And we caught up with Predators General Manager David Poile earlier this week on Robbie and Rex Road. And at the time, obviously, the Predators were still alive, hanging on by a thread in their race for the playoffs. They had just come off a big win against the Calgary Flames in a shootout. And we know what's happened since then. Winnipeg wins on Tuesday night, and the Predators officially have been eliminated from the playoffs. We got into a lot of different things with David Poile, from UC Saros and the way that he's played so far this year, his case for the Vezina Trophy, and the consistency in which he's brought to the table ever since he's taken over in the starter's crease, dating back a few years now. It's been a really, really incredible thing to watch UC Saros do the things that he's done to this point. We got into that with David Poile, Jake Livingstone coming in fresh off of college and signing a contract with the Predators and now playing a few games on the back end for him, steps into a high-pressure game immediately against Carolina last week, and the Predators win that game in a shutout. So we get into that and a whole lot more with David Poile as well. Here was the conversation with Predators general manager David Poile.
Yeah, I think it starts with our goaltender. UC Saros has been just fabulous. I mean, you know, when you talk about best goaltenders in the league, you talk about the Vezina Trophy. I mean, to me, he has got to be in the top three. I know it's sometimes optics if you're a playoff team versus a non-playoff team. You know, like the Boston Bruins have like 63 wins, and their goaltender Allmark has just been fantastic. But I tell you that we're nowhere near this without Juice, and I certainly hope he gets some recognition at the end of the season for his play and gets properly voted for the Vezina Trophy. The other thing, just guys, just hanging in there. I think Ryan McDonagh deserves a lot of credit with you know, mostly all of our top guys out and our leadership out, with Roman Josi, Duchesne, Forsberg, etc. I mean, he's really stepped to the forefront, I think, as a leader on our team to keep our younger group together. I'd say the same for Colton Sissons, who plays the hardest minutes on our team, always playing against the top lines of the other team. And, you know, again, with the shortage of players that we have playing, you know, bigger minutes, and he's played all year long. So A lot of heroes right now. Again, it's been exciting. I think at the trading deadline, we thought we would be playing meaningless games at the end of the season, and we're not. I think that's fantastic for character of our guys, and I think it's fantastic for as we look to the future for the Predators.
So, Dave, let's just say someone on the day of the trading deadline says to you, hey, this team, this very different-looking younger team, is going to – here's all the injuries. Let me lay those out for you. Here's all the injuries that are going to come. The guys are going to be hurt, and you're going to be in this thing still with two games to play. You say what?
I'd say that was unrealistic at the time, being 100% honest. I mean, you're taking away top forwards off your team, Matthias Ekholm on the back end. What we didn't know also is we didn't have any idea that we'd be so banged up and have so many injuries. I mean, two nights ago we had 9 players out. So, no realistic chance based on what has happened. But I mean, as I've always said, you just never know in this business. I mean, we have given other people opportunities that would not have gotten those opportunities, and they have come through. And as I just said earlier, I think it's been a struggle in some games. Like last night, you know, we get 2 goals, which if you get to 3, you usually have a chance to win. And we've been having trouble scoring. But I think this could come, with the younger players like Tomasino and Evangelista, to name a couple of guys. But I'm very proud of what's taking place in what was. It has been at times a very, very difficult year to be where we are. I think that if I was after trading down, if I was to write down where I thought we should be and what would make me feel good about our team and about the future, this is what it looks like.
David, Jake Livingstone gets his first point last night, and obviously you guys signed him after the college season. How did the process come about to get him in the fold with your team, and what do you think he can be at the NHL level as he continues to develop here, coming straight out of college to the NHL?
Yeah, kudos to our scouting staff led by Jeff Kelty and our college guru, Greg Dreschel. They followed Jake for the last couple of years, formed a relationship with him when the opportunity presented itself. So we've been, watched a lot of his games and met him, a few times. And, there's always competition for these players coming out of college, these undrafted players, and I think our guys, created a path for him to be able to show that we had opportunity for him, and it's worked out well for him, and it's worked out well for us. I mean, again, we didn't forecast all these injuries, but with those injuries, he's been put in the lineup in the last 3 games, and he's done a really, really good job. So it's a lot for him, that's for sure. I'm sure if we sat down with him, which we will at the end of the season, his head's probably spinning a little bit. But he's a little bit older. He's a bigger kid. He can skate, move the puck. So far, so good.
You mentioned those injuries, David, but obviously Yusuf Parson coming back last night, I felt like that was an important add. What does that mean? And do you think, is it possible anyone else, I guess Yossi would probably be the most likely, could still make a late return here?
Well, yeah, Roman's on the trip with us, as is Philip Forsberg, Cole Smith, players that we think are all close. But, every day brings a new day. I mean, I think there's a chance, but again, I think I felt that with another day. So I can't give you a clear answer. I wish I could, and I'm sure I wish the players especially, I'm sure they would want to be playing, especially where we are right now with 2 games to go and still having a chance.
David, I want to circle back to Saros, because I feel like sometimes maybe we just take for granted the goaltending that he brings to the table on a nightly basis. But really, ever since he's taken over as a starter, he has really fully inserted himself in the Vezina Trophy conversation every year. From your experience, just being around goaltenders as long as you have, how difficult is it to put together the consistency level that Saros has put together for you guys the last 3 years?
Well, I think everybody has, obviously a certain degree of talent, but I think you're hitting the nail on the head. The consistency, the pressure that comes with the position, the way we're playing now, like you give up a goal, it's like, oh my gosh, we got to score 2. And that's been hard for us to do. So our margin of error, our ability to win games, is going to be really defined by our goals against more so than our goals for. And Juice has given us that. I think, I go back to the whole thing with Pekka Rinne, being the best player we've probably had in our franchise history. The passing of the torch to Saros, it was done so well. Their bond, their friendship, what they respecting each other as not only a people, but the goaltending profession. And it was a pretty seamless transition from Pekka to Juice. And last year, we saw what Juice could do, getting, I think, his third in the Vezina. And this year, again, with playing equally, if not better, with a team that was not quite as good as last year. So I give Juice all the plaudits that he deserves, because he's just been great night after night.
You know, Dante Fabbro has obviously has been thrust into a more important role, a little bit of power play time. He's out there, obviously, a lot. David, what have you seen from him here in terms of taking advantage of this opportunity?
I think that, again, we signed him to a contract. You know, it has not been the best season for Dante. And then I think the contract with a show of good faith and belief. And then, again, injuries come and Dante's thrust into a higher role. But I think there's more to Dante's game. I think he has a higher ceiling. And I think this summer, our conversation at the end of the year are going to be very important. And, you know, you talk about the consistency that Juice has. Well, not just Dante, but other players too. But I think Dante is at the age now, and I think he can see where he can be a bigger factor in the game, is make more of a contribution. And I'd like to, you know, challenge Dante to having a strong summer of fitness, you know, more speed, more strength, so that he can be, you know, thrust into these bigger situations on a consistent basis.
So that was Predators General Manager David Poile earlier this week on Robbie and Rex Road. And no question about it, it's going to be a very interesting, basically prove-it year type year for Dante Fabbro. They gave him the one-year extension. As Poile said, he's probably not had the year that they hoped that he would have, although I do think that he has played better as of late alongside Ryan McDonagh. But certainly a big season for Dante Fabbro next year as he enters into the final year of a contract again for the Predators next year. So we'll see how he responds to that. Coming up next, it's time for another edition of Keezer's Corner with Nick Keezer. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley here with you as always. Preds Insiders presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. And it's that time of the week. Time for another edition of Keezer's Corner with Nick Keezer. Nick, take things away.
Indeed, it is that time, Robbie, for another edition of Keezer's Corner. Thank you so much for passing over the baton to wrap up today's edition of Preds Insiders. And I know you've gone over this already, but the Nashville Predators have missed the postseason, and it's the first time that they've missed the postseason since I was a freshman in high school. Let that one sink in for you. I mean, I was a itty-bitty freshman at Hendersonville High School, believe it or not, playing hockey there myself, but it's been a while, and the last time as well that the Preds missed the postseason, it was Barry Trotz's final year here in Nashville, and it's crazy to think about that because ever since then, he's gone on to win a Stanley Cup with Alexander Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals, and now he's back here in Nashville as the new GM. And you know what? I'm quite okay with the Preds missing the playoffs. You know, I think the expectation was there after the type of offseason that they had. You know, they brought in someone like Nino Niederreiter, and I was thinking, okay, well, we're bringing in some scoring, and, you know, he's not going to be the most prolific goal scorer in our lineup. But before we knew that we would have 9 guys out this entire season, I mean, that was a big game changer. And especially after the fact that we traded away so many pieces at the trade deadline. And since March 3rd, the Nashville Predators have been killing the game, but I'll get into that in just a few minutes here. But, you know, looking back as well, the only current players on the team from that time that the Preds last missed the postseason was Roman Josi, Colton Sissons, and Philip Forsberg. You know, Mattias Ekholm was part of that team as well, but he was just traded, so you got to leave him out of that equation now. So the Preds did have quite a few different familiar faces on that old team. However, it doesn't matter anymore because now that streak resets. The Preds were set to make the postseason for the 9th time in a row, but that streak will have to grow again starting next year, obviously. So What sealed the Predators' fate was a 3-1 win for the Winnipeg Jets in Minnesota last night. That was a doozy last night for the Wild. You know, they go out with a bang last night. I know that Ryan Reeves had quite a few words after there was a big hit last night, so go back and watch that recap. It'll speak for itself. The final minutes itself, which felt like an eternity, probably took about 10 minutes to see them finish the game the other night. But needless to say, if it doesn't feel worth it to go back and watch, it was a really weird game because the Jets only had 5 shots in the first period, I believe, and they scored twice. So the Wild had no answer for them. They couldn't score 5-on-5. They only got 1 goal last night, and it just wasn't enough. And, you know, I don't think that the Wild necessarily cared to help out the Predators, obviously. They still had a game to win, and it was another test for them going into the postseason. And the Winnipeg Jets are definitely deserving of it. They trolled the Nashville Predators as well because we were their fanboy last night. But that's okay. And looking forward, the Preds are set up for the future, so let's go ahead and dive right into that. So, right before I hopped on here to record this evening, Igor Afanasyev was sent back down to Milwaukee, and he'll join the Admirals, who now have 3 games left in the regular season. And if I had to guess, he's not going to be the only guy you see get sent back down to Milwaukee, because they're in the playoffs. They're trying to get back to that Calder Trophy. So, curious to see what that team is going to look like here next week, because the NHL playoffs start on April 17th, while the Calder Cup playoffs will start pretty soon thereafter. So Igor is the first guy down. The other guys eligible to go back down for the Nashville Predators. I'll just name them off here for you, the ones that come to mind as well. Luke Evangelista, Michael McCarron, Mark Jankowski, Zach Sanford, Kiefer Sherwood, Philip Tomasino, Spencer Stastny. Those guys are all eligible to go back and help them on their postseason run. So, like I said, very curious to see what that's going to look like, and not completely certain what the Nashville Predators lineup is going to look like, because they have 2 games of their own to play. Although there's nothing to play for, they still have to play them, obviously. It may not necessarily be the games that you're most excited about as a fan, but hey, it is Fan Appreciation Week, and if you've not gone to any games yet, this could be a great time to go. They play on Thursday and Friday to end out the week, so that might be something fun to do if you have a couple of days to yourself at night when you want to go watch the Preds play. So you might see some good young guys playing there for the Nashville Predators. But today was also the team photo op, and head coach John Hines was made available to the media, and he did say today that he had some exit interviews with some guys already. So, assuming those guys I mentioned already, those are perhaps the ones going back to the AHL and guys he could have already interviewed. So, Smashville Live was right before this program tonight, and they're talking to Jake Livingstone and Spencer Stastny. So, not really certain if one of those guys, because Livingstone is probably not eligible to go down considering he just signed a contract with the Nashville Predators, it's going to more than likely be Stastny, who is part of that, but he's a guest. So I don't think he's going to be sent down prior to the game on Thursday. Don't even think he'll be sent down on Friday. I think he'll stay in Nashville, and maybe he will join them at some point, but probably not until the beginning of next week. So you can count on Stastny being here for the Nashville Predators. He's looked very well in the time that he's been up here playing in a couple of games, and Livingstone as well. You know, he's a guy that came out of college. You know, I talked to his coach, Mike Hastings, who's now at Wisconsin, and, you know, he said it was a perfect marriage for the Nashville Predators to pick up Livingstone, who was a stud at the college level and got his first point the other night. He drove all the way up the ice, and it resulted in a goal. So a big one as well. But, you know, the other thing that stood out to me, too, that Hines brought up was he said, I guess we just won't know, when he was asked about Captain Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg, because those are guys we were wondering if they would come back at all to finish out the year. You know, were they going to be rested, or would they come back if they were a win and in situation? And that obviously was not the case whatsoever. But one bright spot today that I saw, just because it happened so long ago, was Mark Borowiecki being hurt. He was back out there today. It means absolutely nothing that he was out there on skates, but the Preds did have a little appreciation tweet there for him because he was back out there in a sweater with the boys, and nothing feels better than that. I can assure you of that feeling because I've been there and done that, being hurt, taking a team photo, being hurt. So he was back out there today. That was a very encouraging update if you're a Nashville Predators fan that he is around the team. He always has been. You know, I've been talking to Willie Donick about it a little bit, but he was out there again, and like I said, it means absolutely nothing. But if I had to guess, I don't think he's back in Nashville, and I quite frankly think there's a really good chance that he's done playing hockey for them as well and just done in general. I think he's going to call it quits. I think he's happy with where he is in his life perhaps, and you know, we won't know officially until this summer, but that's quite okay. But I also want to just talk to you about how the Nashville Predators went 17-12-2 since the NHL trade deadline with practically an AHL team. So with that, here's what David Poile had to say earlier this week when he was asked about where his team was at before finishing the season.
Yeah, I think it starts with our goaltender. UC Saros has been just fabulous. I mean, you know, when you talk about best goaltenders in the league, you talk about the Vezina trophy. I mean, to me, he has got to be in the top three. I know it's sometimes optics if you're a playoff team versus a non-playoff team. You know, like the Boston Bruins have like 63 wins and their goaltender Allmark has just been fantastic. But I tell you that we're nowhere near this without Juice, and I certainly hope he gets some recognition at the end of the season for his play and gets properly voted for the Vezina Trophy. The other thing, just guys just hanging in there. I think Ryan McDonagh deserves a lot of credit for, with you know, mostly all of our top guys out and our leadership out with Roman Josi, Duchesne, Forsberg, et cetera. I mean, he's really stepped to the forefront, I think, as a leader on our team to keep our younger group together. I'd say the same for Colton Sissons, who plays the hardest minutes on our team, always playing against the top lines of the other team. And, you know, again, with the shortage of players that we have playing, you know, bigger minutes, and he's played all year long. So a lot of heroes right now. Again, it's been exciting. I think at the trading deadline, we thought we would be playing meaningless games at the end of the season, and we're not. I think that's fantastic for character of our guys, and I think it's fantastic for as we look to the future for the Predators.
I don't know if you caught that, but he said they thought they could be playing in what were going to be meaningless games down the stretch. That was Nashville Predators general manager David Poile, and you know what? That's completely expected. You know, he sold off a lot of key pieces that I've already gone over. You know, that's not something that you want to always do as a franchise, but the Preds have hit the reset button. And just to go over this quickly, the Preds do have a few notable guys that are RFAs this coming off season. You got Cody Glass, who's had one hell of a year and quite frankly could be in the top six next year if he gets that much better. I think he proved his case that he is more than capable of it. So we'll see what he does. And then the other one too is Alexander Carrier. Is he going to be back? Because he's a guy that was out on three different injuries this year. So, and he's not been back for quite some time, but hopefully he is back. And that is a guy that personally I would want to keep around because he has that value and he could come in at a good bargain for the Nashville Predators. You know, you could give Cody Glass and Carrier those bridge deals, and you know, that's something I would do personally, obviously. And the other guy too that we just got is Jake Livingstone. He's also an RFA, and I know he's 23 years old, and he's a guy that we could get to keep long term, but we'll see what they ultimately do. Not really completely sure how the Preds are going to approach this offseason. But the Nashville Predators do have two upcoming games against the Minnesota Wild and the Colorado Avalanche. We'll see how they fare in those games. But it's been a pleasure to be with you here this evening on Preds Insiders. This has been another edition of Keezer's Corner.
All righty. Thanks, Nick. Another edition of Keezer's Corner in the books. And two more games remaining for the Nashville Predators in the regular season. They'll take on the Minnesota Wild tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. And then the season finale coming up on Friday as the Predators take on the Colorado Avalanche. Obviously, it is disappointing to not be in the playoffs again this year if you're a Predators fan, but you take a look at some of the growth from the young guys over the past few weeks since the trade deadline. I do think there's a lot to be excited about moving forward, be that Cody Glass or Luke Evangelista or a host of other young guys. Yusso Parson, we could talk about. Philip Tomasino, I think, has come in and played really well. And then there's obviously your future in goal, both with UC Saros and with Yaroslav Askarov, what he's done down in the pipeline in Milwaukee as well. So it should be a very fascinating offseason. We got into some of that earlier in the show, and those things are going to continue to be a hot topic of conversation as we move forward here. So what happens next here on Preds Insiders? Well, at some point, probably some point next week, we should hear the season-ending press conferences from John Hines and from David Poile. I would be curious as to see whether or not Barry Trotz is going to be a part of that too as they move forward. We'll have you covered on that as well. We'll have you covered for the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. So we're not going anywhere here on Preds Insiders. We'll hope you'll hang with us. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of their day. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.